This is Shuffle, your backstage pass to Northeast Ohio's music scene. Thanks for joining me. I'm Amanda Rabinowitz. My guest today is Jeff Neisel. He's a longtime music writer with Cleveland Scene. We've been focusing this entire month on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, which are back in Cleveland this year on October 30th. And I wanted to talk a bit with Jeff this week about the Rock Hall class and some other things that he's been working on as the inductions near. So, Jeff, first off, the performer category, we have Tina Turner, Carole King, the Go-Go's, Jay-Z, Foo Fighters, Todd Rundgren. What do you think about this class?
Obviously, like, Tina Turner is the big star here. And just because she's deserved this for so long. And I don't know if you saw that documentary that came out on HBO about her career, but it's just such an incredible story. I wrote down this quote from her where she says, "I'm just a girl from the cotton field." And then you can see through the decades as she evolved and overcame what she calls her quote unquote abusive life and just turns into this superstar. I saw her play, not here in Cleveland, but I saw her play in 1987. And it's amazing. I mean, obviously, you know, that's 20 years into her career, but amazing, remarkable performance and just so dynamic on stage and such strong stage presence. It was amazing. So I think that she's the real star here. Obviously, Jay-Z belongs there. I think this is the first year he's eligible because of everything that he's accomplished over the years. And then, the Go-Go's are like one of the most successful all-female bands ever. And they've been eligible for a long time as well. And Carole King has been inducted as a songwriter, but not as a performer, as are the Foo Fighters, like one of those rock bands. I mean, how many other rock bands can you name that are still playing arenas like after 10 or 20 years or whatever it's been? Because, you know, nowadays, like you get up to the arena level and then you get knocked back down pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So like maybe like the Chili Peppers and Metallica, they're like one of the bands that has really sustained a career. Maybe Pearl Jam's up there too. And then finally, there's Todd Rundgren, the curmudgeon. I interviewed him in 2019 when he was coming into town. I wrote this down. What would it mean to you to be inducted into the Rock Hall? Because he hadn't been inducted yet. And he said, quote, "It means nothing to me."
Wow.
And he likened it to a sports Hall of Fame. And he thought it just wasn't appropriate to have a Hall of Fame for music. And his point was like, he's like, it's the Hall of Fame is where they put you when you die. He's like, I'm still here performing. I don't want to be in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
But obviously like a very innovative musician who's equally deserving as all of these people are, you know?
Yeah. You know, I just want to back up to Tina Turner for a minute because she was inducted previously, but alongside Ike Turner.
Right.
So she's finally getting her time as a solo artist. And, you know, you reminded me of that documentary, which I have not seen yet. And now I want to go watch it immediately.
Oh, it's very inspiring. And, you know, they have all these old clips of her and the Rolling Stones and performing with Ike and everything. And then they do extensive interviews with her today. She reflects and she's very open and candid about everything from her career. And I mean, I liked her before this documentary and then you just like her so much more after.
I got to put that on my list immediately. Speaking of the Go-Go's, you recently interviewed a couple members of the band.
That is correct. Yes, I talked to Gina Schock, the drummer, and Kathy Valentine, and they both have books out that are about their time in the Go-Go's. I know that they're planning to perform at the inductions. They have it on their list of things to do, and they're supposed to play three songs.
Wow, that's exciting.
They're supposed to come into town a couple days early to do a book signing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Their books are very different from one another. Gina Schock's is more of like a scrapbook. There's lots of photos. She wrote a little bit about her time in the band. And I believe she's one of the original members, or maybe she joined shortly after they started. She has a ton of photos in the book. And then she got testimonials from some of the other people who kind of know her and know the band, like Keith Pearson from the B-52s. And if I remember correctly, I think Jodie Foster wrote something in the book too, just essays about her and the Go-Go's and how much they like both of them. And then Kathy Valentine was actually interested in literary fiction. And so she really wanted to write a book, a novel or something. And, you know, she thought that this would be a good way to sort of like add, as she put it, like author to her resume. So her book is quite a bit longer than Gina's book. It's a memoir, so it's very detailed about her upbringing and all the problems that she experienced when she was young that she says really made her turn to rock and roll because her family life was so bad. And at the age of 15, I think she started playing guitar. Hmm. So, and it's very well written. It's an excellent memoir. You know, when I asked them about how they felt about getting into the Rock Hall finally, because I think they've been eligible for a few years now, they both said, you know, we had kind of just written it off. Like, we figured it's not happening and there's no reason to, you know, stew over it. We didn't think it would, you know, mean that much to us. But then when we actually got in, we were all so excited. When I interviewed Kathy Valentine and was talking to her about her book and how she felt about the being inducted into the Rock Hall, she made the point that, you know, she's been playing guitar since she was 15 years old and that she sees this as a recognition for just how much she's devoted her life to music. She told me that last year was the first year that she hasn't played live in her entire career, and that was because of COVID. And so she was in the band prior to the Go-Go's. I think it was called the Violators, and then joined the Go-Go's and then has done solo things after that. So she really sees it as a recognition for just that whole entire career that she's had in addition to being part of the Go-Go's.
Yeah, I think it's just fantastic that they're finally getting their due. Just an iconic group. And how many modern musicians today say that they've drawn influences from them? So,
And they were like, they came out of that LA punk rock scene. Like, you know, in their books, they talk about going to see X and some of the other bands that were popular in Los Angeles. And then they sort of put their own kind of like new wave twist onto that. So they started out playing like kind of punky music and then added some of these pop melodies and things like that. And then sort of merged those two genres in a really unique manner as well. There's actually a great documentary that came out about them as well.
That documentary is on Showtime, and I don't have Showtime, so I'm hoping maybe at some point they make that available in some other capacity, because I would love to see that documentary. I'm glad that they're going to come here for it and, you know, take part in some of the festivities. I think that's really cool.
Right, for sure.
I know Kraftwerk is getting in as an early influence award. A lot of people around here were very upset about Devo not getting in. What are your thoughts on Devo?
Well, it's one of those things where I am like the biggest Devo fan in as big of a Devo fan as any.
Oh, I didn't know that about you.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I think that there was a few years back, Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo had this art exhibit. Do you remember that?
I do. Yes, I do remember that.
I was so excited about this art exhibit that I contacted his publicist, set up an interview in advance, flew out to Los Angeles on my own dime, just so I could sit down and talk to him about this art exhibit and get the story together for the Cleveland Scene.
Wow.
And so I think they're a fantastic, really influential, really important band. I feel like the love that we have for them here in Northeast Ohio might not be shared by the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. So it might be a difficult thing to convince this mysterious group of people who vote for the nominations each year that Devo belongs there. So I think it's a tough battle, but I definitely would support their induction.
Okay. I think that's an interesting perspective. You're right. I mean, we are definitely biased here, but
right.
I don't know. But a lot of people are saying like maybe Kraftwerk gets in now and then Devo, it opens the door for Devo. So I don't know, maybe in the future, but you're right. It's a fight that we're going to keep going right. with here in Ohio. I know that.
For sure. And I loved seeing all the Devo markers that were down in Akron while the nominations were going out and stuff. I thought that was terrific.
It really was fun, but a little disappointing. So anyway, Sour Grapes, we'll move on. We talked on the podcast last week about on October 24th, they're planning a big community day with the Rock Hall, a lot of local right. bands playing. It's kind of nice that they're getting the community involved, but I think it's taken a long time to get there. And, you know, we talked about this last week as well as like, should the Rock Hall be doing more to kind of immerse itself in Cleveland itself? What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've talked about this too in terms of like these Cleveland music clubs are so fantastic in it. You know, this is one of the few cities in the country where any night of the week you can go out and hear an incredible band. And I think that the Rock Hall could kind of try to cross promote and capitalize on that and bring some of these bands to the Rock Hall for appearances. I think that they have had in the past a couple bands perform in the garage, that area where they have the instruments and anyone can go in there and sort of pick up an instrument and play. But I feel that could be on a weekly basis where they could get some of these musicians in there so people recognize that they're playing in town that night and they could go out and see them at one of the terrific clubs that we have in town.
Yeah, and so many times a national touring band will come into town, play at like House of Blues, and then they tour the Rock Hall, but they do it so secretly you don't know about it. And it's like, I'm sure some of those bands wouldn't mind doing a tour and then coming out and signing or doing some sort of meet and greet. You'd think that that would happen more often.
I agree. And I have been there on occasion when bands have come into town and made a donation, and they tend to make some of those public. But again, anything like that that involves the community and then connecting with the musicians and the clubs, I think is fantastic. There's lots more that could be done in that area.
I know that, you know, Scene is doing some things too. There's some t-shirts. I mean, what's going on?
Yes, the paper has done a couple of things like leading up to the inductions. And this started sometime over the summer. I don't remember exactly when, but they worked with Cleveland Clothing Company, and each month they put out a t-shirt that featured an old Cleveland Scene cover from, I think that most of them from the 1970s. The most recent one is this great old cover featuring Alice Cooper, and it's kind of like tying in with Halloween. There's like a Devo one, there's like a Prince one. I think there's like a one with a Springsteen, and these are old covers from Cleveland Scene, which was in its early days just a music magazine, and then they put them onto t-shirts. So I believe most of them sold out because they were very limited runs. So they're supposed to, the plan anyways, is to have some of them in stock at the Cleveland Clothing Company store on East 4th during the induction. So people go and pick them up if they're heading to the inductions, or even if they're not, they should be able to have a few options down there of some of these shirts. And the old covers are great. I mean, so it was such a great time when Scene was covering all the music and MMS was promoting bands very heavily, and Balkan Productions was doing its thing, and all these things were kind of working in unison to make Cleveland into a rock and roll town that we know it today.
Okay, I'm right now looking at the t-shirt of Alice Cooper in the Halloween. It is awesome.
It is great.
I have to get this immediately. It is so cool. You've been like digging back through the archives to tie in with all of this?
Right. So, you know, like I said, Scene is over 50 years now, old now, and the library a couple years ago put all these old issues from the 70s onto its database. And so I've been trying to go through some of those and find some of the major concerts that the paper reviewed, and then combine that with some of the concert reviews we've run in the last few years to come up with a list of 50 of the best concerts from the past 50 years. The plan is to put that out in an issue that comes out the week of the inductions as well. And so I think that'll be a good thing for people to kind of relive some of those terrific concerts and see what Scene wrote about them. Because yeah. I think that pretty much across the board, all of them were reviewed in the paper. I think there are a few shows that maybe weren't reviewed, but we found somebody that had gone to that show and had them write a review just for this list. Like when Michael Jackson was at the Coliseum, and I think maybe we didn't review, or Scene didn't review the Replacement show at Peabody's, but we had somebody that had been there. So I think he was able to put something together for us too. So there's lots of good stuff. There's going to be lots of good stuff in it.
You know, that's so cool because, I mean, just thinking of all the music history that's happened here and just to go back to those archives, dig it all up again, I think that's just awesome.
I agree. I mean, there are a lot of cool shows that happened in the 1960s, but that was before Scene's time. And so I was kind of disappointed that we didn't have, you know, reviews of the first Stones appearance or those Beatles concerts or Elvis in town. But looking back through the archives, I found a lot of things, from the Rolling Stones performing at Richfield I found a review, and it sounds like it might not have been the best concert, but I still thought it was an interesting pairing with Kiss and the New York Dolls playing at Playhouse Square in 1974, I think it was. So there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
I'm going to be looking forward to all of that. Jeff, are you going to be at the inductions this year?
I'm not sure if I'm going to go, or just, you know, HBO does a great job of filming it. And so I might just wait around. I know it's not going to be live on HBO this year, But, you know, the ceremony is just so long. So I might just wait for the HBO special to come out. We'll see.
You know what? I am with you on that. Totally. 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 But I definitely want to go to that community day. I think that's just going to be awesome. And let's put some of the city's talent on stage and support that.
I agree. I think there's supposed to be fireworks at the end of the night set to a soundtrack featuring music from the inductees.
Oh.
I think that would be stellar, you know?
Hopefully I see you around that day.
I hope so.
Jeff Neasel, thank you so much for joining me. It's always great to chat with you.
Likewise.
You can find links and more information at wksu.org/shuffle. And we're also on Facebook. Just do a search for WKSU Shuffle. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you like it, consider rating and writing us a review. Join us next Thursday for a new episode of Shuffle. I'm Amanda Rabinowitz. Thanks for listening.